your temporary filling in host, Jacob Deaton. And with me today, I have Mike and Sploot. How are you guys doing?
I'm okay. Dean's taking over for me today because I'm feeling my confidence is in the crapper. I just want to preface this episode with don't believe anything that I say because I lose a lot of games and I'm not good at this game. So
you beat me less than 2 hours ago.
This is going to be soundbite by someone and then they're going to repeat this to you all the time. But yeah. Hey, I'm Sploosh.
My first episode is going great. So today we want to talk about a couple things. Obviously, there was a big event over in the other parts of the world. So the York Weekender was this weekend. And we'll talk about a little bit about stats. And then we'll talk about winners and losers of the early winners and losers of the changes AMG made. What characters that weren't buffed. So now that we've had a little bit of time to play the game, to think about some of the context in which the changes have happened, where do we think we could look for maybe some new interesting things outside of the obvious, hey, everyone go jam Wolverine into everywhere that he fits for the last 2 weeks. So, which has been fun. I don't want to knock anybody who's doing that. It's a blast. But there are other cool things going on. So let's jump right in. Let me get these numbers up.
So here. First thing I want to say is I don't know if York Weekender was a competitive event.
Oh, God.
Just kidding.
Oh, no.
How do we edit it?
How about that Homer, the Grandpa Simpson meme? That's Jacob from UK walking in. Is there a guy? Because I'll bet. I'm sorry if that's an inside joke people can't follow. We lost the Jacob doing all that joke.
All right. Well, that's been the danger room. We're the danger room. We'll see you next week. hold on. Let me pull this up. So the York Weekender obviously was this weekend. And for somehow I've lost this event.
Which for people who are unfamiliar with being on Discord for all hours of every day, like we are, it is an event in the UK. It was like a 64-person event, 2 days. And it was just pure Swiss, right? Winner, 6-0 wins.
It's cool for people because it's one of their few, and maybe only, someone can correct me if that's not true, but I know it's one of the few convention style events where they play over multiple days, right? I think a lot of the events in the UK are one day type events. And so this is cool to see sort of this different style. So obviously some familiar names. So it was Aaron Collier did win it, playing Web Warriors, went 6-0, beat Pat in the finals. So Aaron, you know, playing Webs, obviously, it's not super surprising to anyone. I do think as we look maybe about his list a little bit, there are some surprises. No ASM, which isn't him. He's never been an ASM guy, but I think that's been in vogue. So I don't want to spend too much time there, but I think we can really, you know, it's interesting how much you can win with, right? So pretty fascinating there. And then Pat playing Inhumans was the final. So Aaron was able to take that down. Looks like they played on Spider Portals and
Legacy Virus,
yes. And Aaron kind of took that down pretty handily from a score perspective. I think the game was actually pretty engaging for the most part for the entire game. Did you guys both watch it? Or Sploosh, I know you watched it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Not much more to say. It was really interesting tactics by both people. And I think Arun definitely made some really smart decisions.
Yeah, it was nice to see new Black Bolt on the table. He's very good for anyone that wasn't aware of that. As far as the event as a whole, you know, looking at some of the play numbers, you've got a bunch of X-Men, 8 X-Men players, 7 Guardians players. Criminal Syndicate was up there. Defenders, it was really nice to see them. They were a top 5 played affiliation, which Defenders and X-Force were numbers 4 and 5, which would not have happened 3 weeks ago, in my opinion. So certainly some interesting stuff to come out of there affiliation-wise. What were there any surprises for you guys about what was or wasn't played?
I don't know everything that was played, so I'm not sure.
I think these results are pretty accurate to what I would expect. I mean, the UK continues to not play Avengers. I think they had one Avengers player, and Avengers seems to consistently do well in the US and in even in the TTS League.
There's no Avengers in the top eight.
No, in fact, I only see one Avengers player in the whole event.
So yeah, according to the little stats page, they had two, and they played six games. So
yeah,
when you look
at one guy had a dual affiliation at Avengers with X-Force, and then the other guy was Mono Avengers. Yeah. So yeah, the UK just doesn't play Avengers for some reason.
And I think they have in the past, but I think it's a double whammy of they are certainly typically less played than they would be here, and then the Avengers just caught a nerf. Right.
Yeah, they did. But you know, Webs did really well again. I mean, there was four Webs players and three of them were in the top eight. So that kind of echoes how I felt about Web Warriors lately. I think Web Warriors have been really sweet lately. I think, yeah, obviously. Aaron does do kind of a different style that hasn't really caught on with other Web Warriors players, where he seems to just play as many characters as just a bunch of three threats and fights more often, maybe. So maybe that's something Web Warriors players should think about doing. I don't know. He keeps having success with it, so there must be something there.
I have an interesting observation. The highest X-Men is 13th, and there's a bunch of X-Men. But
yeah, so the next thing I was going to say is I'm not surprised at X-Men's performance, I should say. I think we've all kind of got on the page of where the buffs have been cool, but the Storm leadership nerf was probably harsher. It's probably worse for them than all the buffs they got.
Yeah, I agree. I think
X-Men are really waiting on the next wave. They have Long Mover and Kitty. They have Xavier's Dream and a slew of other things that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
So new leadership with Xavier. So yeah, I know people are going to be the memes of, oh, X-Men get everything they want and people still complain, but it's like they didn't, their best thing got nerfed by a lot. And their models are just, I guess they raised the floor of their affiliation models, but not in a way that actually is proactive in game. They're just kind of dudes that roll five dice builders.
Yeah, another observation is Syndicate was pretty popular, I believe, but the highest Syndicate was 19th, which surprises me a little bit. I think Syndicate's pretty good, but that's crazy. I mean, to be fair, I don't even see an Avengers anywhere, and they're good as far as we think. So I don't think this is like proof an affiliation's bad either, but it's just kind of weird. You might know, Deaton, or at least roughly how many Syndicate players there was at the event?
Seven.
Okay.
34 games.
Yeah, that's a reasonable number for the event, but man, that didn't work out for him, I guess.
Guardians placed did pretty well, right? I think we've come to the Guardians is good. I think we've come to the conclusion, I think I have, and I think you guys have as well, that it's really off the back of Bill. We tried playing Guardians list without Bill, and it felt awful.
Yeah, I think it's
starting to learn that Bill is just broken.
I do think that he rounds that out in a way that makes it function as a sort of across the board list, right? I think Guardians without Bill has like the attrition angle. They can still do a lot of things. It's not as good, certainly, but once you put Bill in there, he just rounds that out so well, the way he does for a lot of things. So yeah, I think what's interesting, I'd love to get your thoughts, is obviously we can't take one event as a, here's exactly what's happening, but looking at some of the stuff we knew and that changed, looking at, you know, what a list looked like, and you know, the big mover in the changes in the top eight would be humans. I think everyone kind of is on the same page about how much better they can be now with Black Bolt. Defenders is up there. But then you start looking at some of the other stuff that was changed. X-Men, part of it's going to be like it's not that X-Men are bad, right? That's not what we're saying.
No.
But they're undiscovered, right? So it's like, how do you still need to run Storm? Can you run a Cyclops-only roster? How do those things work? So those are probably the big takeaways for me when I look at this, is that some of the more obvious change buffed stuff is near the top. And then a lot of the stuff that changed is still maybe in flux. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. Webs are always popular in the UK for some reason. So I also don't want to read too much into there being so many. There's three Webware players in the top eight. But I think Web's probably got a buff just in the fact that other things were slightly nerfed. Is that crazy to say?
I don't think it's crazy. I think the Voodoo nerf is big for Web's.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, not being able to leave Brother Daniel and Black Cat's been pretty sweet. And she gets possessed, she can just go beat him up. He's just rolling two dice and he probably dies.
It was indeed not sweet. No, I mean, it's a good change. And so I think, yeah, when you look at some of those more crisis-oriented teams, any of those probably got buffed a little bit because of who shut down so much of what they were doing. So, all right, let's... Anything else we want to say about sort of the affiliations, results, that kind of thing?
Real quick, I didn't even look at every list, but I saw two top eight lists have Thanos in them. One is actually the Web's player at sixth, and the other one is third place, Liam, who's, you know, he hangs out on our Discord. He had Thanos in a Guardians list. Oh, doesn't show his gems, actually, but the other one was the Web's guy was bringing
space reality.
Yeah.
Liam's a space reality. It seems like he's playing that list, right? I'd be very curious, and I think I saw this on the Discord, so I'm going to soft say that the Web's guy sort of just threw him in there. Am I going to play Thanos? Am I not?
Oh, and you know what? Eighth also has a Thanos, which doesn't say the gems, but I'm assuming it's space reality because it's Guardians. So
there were two I think there were six space reality Thanoses, and there were two mind space Thanoses. There was one mind space Thanos, I believe. So.
I think it says something, though. Thanos made it into two or three top eight rosters. I think, though, it's not even maybe that they even had to play him, right? It's just he's so easy to splash. It's just, oh, I put this thing in here. It cost me nothing. And I assume they have a plan for when to use him.
Well, I mean, the fact that he's in the two Guardians lists, right, would suggest that those two are probably playing him. Especially, they don't, one of them doesn't even have Cosmic Ghost Rider. Maybe both of them don't. No, one of them does, one of them doesn't. So, I mean, it feels pretty core to what those two teams are doing.
So, an interesting take on that is, and why you know they're playing them, is they both took, what is it? Sorry. Like, Gamora, right? Like, it's traditional you play Thanos with Gamora on 15. That's interesting to me because they're taking Gamora. That means they're not taking Agent Venom, which I think is a pretty cool character. So, that's definitely an active decision to take Gamora over Agent Venom.
Yeah, so it'll be exciting to see as things keep going, right? The next big event would be something like WTC probably, but which will have weird list building results. But as we keep going, how some of this shakes out. And I also think as we talk about this today and going forward, it's also kind of useless to talk about affiliations in somewhat because the core box releases in 2 weeks. So that'll change more, right? So if you aren't happy with your Wolverine results, wait 2 weeks and play him Steve 3.
Accurate.
So really quick, let's talk a little bit about the characters. So most played characters, top five, Beta Ray Bill, Bullseye, Hulk, Pyro, and Cosmic Ghost Rider. Well, we'll say Cosmic Ghost Rider is he who shall not be named, and we'll just kind of, he's a very popular character.
I'm banning him from the podcast.
Yeah, he's banned from the cast.
I hate him. I don't want to talk about him.
Go down a rabbit hole. But these other characters, what surprises you about these top four guys? Does anything surprise you about these top four?
No. Pyro, maybe. I think Pyro is slightly overrated. And I just say from experience, he can fireball something, but it doesn't seem to be like super difficult to deal with. And then a character maybe gets dazed and then the conditions are gone and then Pyro's dead. Right. Kind of my experience. It's rare that Pyro can just walk around and he can't firewall every turn if he doesn't have external power help and if he's not making attacks. So, especially if he's interacting too. So I find that Pyro isn't able to spam firewall and survive. Bill gets firewalled. But it's annoying, but not the end of the world. And then Pyro's usually dead or whatever, not doing anything relevant. That's been my experience with him.
Please, what about you? Anything stick out?
Well, I'm curious if pyrotechnics is a factor at all. Is that
Oh man, I don't like that card. So many incinerate immune models that are played, like Voodoo Bill and Ghost Rider. Well, Ghost Rider doesn't score usually, but I feel like there's so many incinerate immune models.
it doesn't work. Pyrotechnics was in 6 rosters where Pyro was in 13. So less than half of the Pyro rosters brought the card.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I've seen a lot of people say that Bill will get less popular after the changes because maybe there's less Malkus, but that's proved to be inaccurate. Bill's number one.
I think number one, we haven't had enough time since the changes to push Bill out of the meta, right? There just hasn't. I don't think it was that big of a shakeup, quite frankly, to knock him down. And Bill's just insanely good.
I don't think Bill's going anywhere. He's way too durable. Way too durable for having his throw and his threat value.
Unfortunately, our runes list is not online, which is probably going to torture so many people that are trolling Longshanks.
I know what his 10 characters are if you want me to say them.
It's in the general chat.
I think people would be curious, but if we wanted to shut it up real quick.
Here's the gist of Aaron's list. He plays, his 10 is Miles, Gwen, Black Cat, Moon Knight, Zemo, Sam Wilson, and then Black Panther, Venom, and
Spider-Woman.
And then
Agent Venom or Venom?
Eddie Brock Venom.
Okay.
And then Black Panther, Spider-Woman, and Toad. And then he plays the same 6 tactics cards every game. Well, 4, the same 4, and then he swaps out one of them. I think he said he plays R&D, Patchup, All Webbed Up, and Spider Tracker every game. And then Mission Objective on all scenarios that aren't Researcher. And then he switches Researcher or Mission Objective for some other card. I think he said maybe Mark for Death, if it's relevant. And then obviously if he plays Venom, he plays Lethal Protector. And then his scenarios are all the Map Ds, which would be Riots, Cosmic Invasion and Spider Portals, and Hammers, Map D. And then he also has Paranoia and Legacy Virus.
Thank you. I just mentioned that too because it's interesting that neither of the top 2 players were running Bill. So I don't know, maybe Bill will cool down a little bit, but it's interesting.
Bill probably doesn't cool down because he's a lot like Hulk. And what people have said about Hulk for a long time is that he goes in your list and he fixes your problems.
Yeah, I think Bill's a product of being one of 2 Eyes on the Prize characters. He's very good, and then everybody says he's good, and he's in the most popular faction, Guardians. Guardians' popularity doesn't go down for some reason. People just really like to roll the slot machine, I think. I don't know what it is, but it seems to be the case.
That's fair. And I mean, I could see myself splashing Bill in a lot of things where maybe I need Eye to use the Eye on the Prize or whatever. Bill's power gain is crazy. His immunities are amazing. He's just a crazy... Even his 4-4 defense is crazy for Peta Flips. It just does it all. Yep. So, yeah.
So characters, the only surprise, I think, in the top 10, and surprise meaning you wouldn't have expected this a few weeks ago, is Wolverine is in the top 10 now in about 20% of rosters. So I don't think that's a shock to anyone who saw him get buffed, but he's there. And then Taskmaster is probably surprised me. But when you look at all the Criminal Syndicate that have been, that are there, a lot of those, Taskmaster shows up. So
yeah, is he Taskmaster's, what is that, 10 right there? So yeah, criminals are 4 of the top 10. This Bullseye, Rhino, Ulick, and Taskmaster, that's crazy. But
I think, and what's that, interesting, and, is, yeah, those are 3 splashable models in Taskmaster. May or may not be splashable, but even beforehand, right, we'll talk a little bit about this as we talk winners and losers, but Rhino was already splashable, and now he's probably even more so.
Yeah, I think for sure.
So we'll quickly hit tactics cards. I don't think there's a ton of surprise here. Top 10 being Grace, Eyes, Patchup, Fallback, Mission Objective, Recal, Exceptional, No Matter the Cost, and I'm losing count. Let's say Advanced R&D and Sacrifice. So, I mean, Grace continues to be just the most played thing. Move on. Eyes is in 60% of lists, which is very high. It's actually lower than I probably would have assumed. but when you start talking about Angela's and maybe ASM's filling that role too, but card is everywhere. I don't think
I think we're at the point where Eyes needs to be banned. I mean, I've said for a long time, I think I said when Eyes came out that it should probably not exist. And we're at the point where it needs to go away.
Yeah, and you can't restrict it. That'd be worse.
Right? Yeah. I don't think people need the midline grab. People don't absolutely need the midline grab. I think there's some merit in figuring out how to grab the midline without dying. And I've literally played in my last two games, or not my last two games, but I've played in two games in, I don't know, the last handful of games or something, where my opponent has brought Eyes on a map, or like it didn't even make sense for them to have it. It was Lucas's game. I watched Lucas's game, and then I played a game locally. My opponent brought Eyes on the Prize with Malekith, and he like couldn't even play it because of the terrain the center objective was on. So he just played a card down, and then Lucas's game, the Midnight Suns player played Immortal Hulk, bump, Eyes on the Prize, and he like still had to move to grab it, and then he moved away, but it's like you don't need Eyes on the Prize for this at all. So my point is people just bring this card without thinking about it.
Yeah. I think it's funny. Aaron has it in his list and nobody can play it in turn one.
Yeah, so he even said he said in the Discord that he doesn't play except like three of his cards. Like they just never get played.
Yeah. It's just funny. And you know, in the final he just put Panther and Miles in the center line against Cosmic Ghost Rider and Black Bolt. And so, you know, I'm not saying one way or the other that's a good play, but he won the final, so it certainly worked out, right? So maybe it's not, especially in the context of the deception nerfs and things like that, maybe it's not as ubiquitously necessary. Maybe that's one of the things people can evaluate. So, but yeah, no surprises here. I think for my end, it's all straightforward.
I mean, not a surprise, but 50 fallbacks, and you know, that's 50%, a lot.
50%, yeah.
Oh, is it 50%? Okay. Yeah, it's still a lot though. I mean, so it's 29 fallbacks. That's a high number. Fallback to me feels like the free card that's not restricted yet.
I'd probably say that it's the most played card that isn't restricted, like the most outside of Eyes, the most useful card.
I just hope AMG got all the money they could ever get out of fallback, because that card's in the Hulkbuster pack.
Buy a fallback, get a free Hulkbuster to paint. It seems like it's a good deal.
It's a pretty mini.
No, I mean it is. I think it's that card, right? Like, it's probably the thing that if you were to base a ban and restricted list, you know, Eyes and fallback would be on the target. So, yeah, I think anything else we're sort of interested in talking about from a York and numbers and sort of navigating the first post-errata event?
I mean, the crises, right?
Yeah.
Gamma Hammers, one and two.
Hammers is two-thirds of lists.
No changes
crazy.
There.
Those two have been in the game since like day one, basically. I mean, it's just crazy. Just never ends.
I am extremely surprised and maybe even a little skeptical that cubes is only in 8 lists. Seems very low, but maybe people are just loving the mid-range ones a little more, but it's sort of not great for anyone at this point, right? Like, it's a lot of points, but you take damage, so you can get swung on really hard in cubes more than maybe most other things.
Cubes is pretty scary, in my opinion, unless you're like a Healing Factor team or Hellfire or something.
Yeah. The worst play, the last place was Fisk and Cosmic Invasion at like 6 and 4. If you want to mess with people, pick one of those. Be good at it. Because wasn't there something I heard Omnis was saying, like Cosmic Invasion's like secretly the X-Men counter or something? I remember there was like a random rant about that. Am I crazy?
I don't know.
You don't remember that?
Cosmic Invasion just has the two least popular, or two of the least popular things in that it's map D and it's 16 threat.
My God. Yeah, it just hit me. Those are the two 16s also. I think people just hate 16.
No, they're just unpopular scenarios. Like when Researcher was 16, it was freaking everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, that's because Researcher was toxic. It didn't matter. And yeah, anyway, this is a tangent, but I was like going over my old Syndicate rosters. And I was like, why did I have a 16 threat Thanos roster? And then I was like, oh yeah, because there was like a moment in time when Black Order played 16. But I forgot that because it used to be 15, you know? So anyway, just funny to see those in the bottom there together.
Yeah. I mean, I think Meteors is low, and I think the AMG's finally released some stuff that's given people reason to play Meteors. I think X-Men probably play Meteors now.
Maybe Inhumans? X-Force
plays Meteors. No, I wouldn't play with Inhumans because they really do not like having to pay to flip round one when they have all this jank they want to be doing.
They want to be setting things up, and you don't get the snowball if you're spending it to maybe score points.
But I think like the X teams, I think Defenders probably play Meteors.
I think Asgard with Logan is a shout too.
Asgard can probably play it as well. Yeah.
It's also potentially one of the slowest things, right? There's only three of them and it's not all or nothing. So it's not, I mean, you're scoring probably 1 or 2 points a turn. Potentially taking damage while doing so. It's pretty rough conceptually, but I think I agree that Merc team should probably be looking at it again.
Yeah.
So cool. I think that's probably it. Just any last comments or things like that?
Nah.
Cool.
I don't think so.
Wonderful. All right. Well, let's move on. I wasn't able to get away from the competitive conversation, but I tried.
Wait, what?
No, you got to throw competitive comments in there, guys. Bringing it back. I'm putting it.
Oh, yeah. New York wasn't a competitive event. Yeah, it's a disclaimer.
Please edit that out. It was a very competitive event. I don't care what anyone says. I don't
care what people think about me at this point.
Joking. He's joking.
I'm just memeing. It's a joke. But
you have to tell people that.
Actually takes me seriously, then I feel sorry for you.
I need one of those director snapper things so that I can mark in the podcast where to cut it. And cut.
Joke's on you. I do the editing, so.
Damn it. All right. I'm going to change my meme. All right. So what we want to actually talk about today is, like I said earlier, winners, losers of the errata. We're going to do so from mostly a character perspective, but staying away from people who are actually changed, right? It's pretty obvious to say that Wolverine was a winner of the errata, ASM. But what are the downstream effects that we've seen so far, right? So we'll sort of go through this. I'm just going to start calling on you guys and talk about some of the winners, losers that you see, and we'll talk about them and why and things like that. So I'll start with Mike. Who are some of your character winners that did not get changed?
Spider-Woman.
Why?
I love Spider-Woman. Voodoo's nerfed. And she's a viable extract stealing character. I mean, she was good before the thing, but she was definitely played a lot at York. Like, she was in a lot of lists. And I've always loved Spider-Woman. I think people have been down on her unreasonably. And with Voodoo, like I said, with Voodoo being nerfed, she becomes more of competition for that 4-threat stealing character.
And you can sort of, so she's one of the action stealing. Is she the only action stealing 4? I guess Enchantress, but she doesn't count as a character. Because the 4s that can steal are like Voodoo, Rhino, and her, right?
And Enchantress, I think.
And Enchantress. Yeah. But so she's got, hers costs an action, but you can, and 3 power, but you can make it cheaper, right? With no matter the cost. So I think that's a good shout. She's a lot more durable than Voodoo is now, certainly. So yeah, I think that's a good one. Where do you think
you didn't mention interrogate. I mean, if you daze someone and then you interrogate them, that's almost like stealing a VP in itself too.
Yeah, interrogate's been sweet. Randomly, people forget about it is the big thing. They always forget about it. I've forgotten about it. Like playing against Spider-Woman, I like count the points and then my opponents interrogate. I'm like, oh Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been playing her and I interrogate people and they're like, oh, I forgot about that. And then the points are off for them.
Yeah, and do you think she's sort of generically useful, or is she won in the places she's already good, or do you think people should be looking at her just as a, hey, I need a steal. Let's look at Spider-Woman.
Unfortunately, I think that's the unaffiliated slot for stealing is probably still Rhino for most people. But I think
Rhino's still tankier.
Avengers and Web Warriors, Spider-Woman for sure.
Yeah.
Rhino, I can't tell if Rhino is properly balanced or if he's a bit over. I don't know. He definitely can whiff, but like his steel card is just nuts. Like it, his card is over for sure.
Yes. Having to bring a card to balance the card, it always feels a little weird, but so would you say Rhino 1-2 then?
Yeah, I mean, I think Rhino's the most generically best, like, stealing character in the game for me. Like, if I was playing, if I had no affiliated stealing characters, I would probably be looking at Rhino.
I mean, we might as well just talk about Rhino then, because, you know. But Rhino's basically, like, the unofficial Voodoo replacement, especially unaffiliated, would you say?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I think Dynamo and Bill are like what I would consider the current S tiers of this game, but I think Rhino is maybe like A plus, S minus or something. I don't think Rhino's like crazy or broken or anything. There's ways to play around even his tactics card, but it's, you can't argue that he's really good. And if stealing's what you're looking for, he's your guy right now.
So I think a few weeks ago we would have, like, when we did the reactions, we were like, Voodoo's still probably the best. Or maybe the general consensus is that Voodoo's still probably the best. What has changed?
Voodoo actually has counterplay now. Voodoo can just be killed. He's, I possess you, you're like, all right, fine, I daze you. Does that roll? No, he rolls no defense and dies.
I think Voodoo's fine. He's just balanced now.
Yeah, I agree. That's what changed, though.
Yeah.
Rhino's card is like the only actionless steal left in the game, really, other than Torch, I guess. Am I wrong on that? Is there something?
Well, I mean, Voodoo's isn't actionless. But
yeah, possess is true.
But I think having played a couple games, the amount Voodoo's sort of not being able to pull the token back affects him is insane, right? Even from, hey, I see that's a big deal when I read the card, to now I'm seeing it on the table. Voodoo is still the best thing in the game at getting an extract off someone, right? Like, he just is. When you then take that out into the context of the game and an actual 6 rounds of playing MCP, it's a huge change for him. And he's much more, he plays very differently now. So.
Yeah, Voodoo.
It's a affiliated versus unaffiliated conversation now because of the fact that Voodoo's balanced. So, of course, if I'm going to play Midnight Suns or something, I'm probably going to at least have Voodoo on my 10. But if I'm anybody else, you know, then I'm looking at Voodoo and Rhino. And it's okay. Well, it's already an unaffiliated slot, except Rhino's got indestructible and Rhino can just fly across the whole board and chase people down. And it just kind of adds up to me. With Rhino versus with Voodoo, I see him as a little bit more squishy now. He's not mobile really, unless your affiliation somehow helping him out. It's just Voodoo's just playing fair now.
He really. Actually has no secure control that's like on demand at all, because his throw is gone and his possess doesn't work secures anymore. So he could really only interact with extracts.
Yeah, and Rhino throws size 4.
That's
pretty good.
But,
yeah, sure.
But Rhino, sometimes he can throw you with the card too, right? So,
yep. And yeah, and the tactics card is like a whole thing too. He's probably got one of the best tactics cards in the game, so it's not like you feel the tax. You're happy to pay the tax to do what that card does.
Yeah. Yeah, Robbery probably shouldn't have a throw on it, in my opinion, but I don't know. Rhino is, it's hard to say because Rhino has bad games. Like, I've played games with Rhino where he doesn't do anything. Like, yeah, he robs somebody, but his attacks don't do anything.
And it is notable that one card can completely shut down Rhino's steal, right? So it's, it has counterplay. hitting your steel mission objective.
Yeah, I think Rhino's right on the edge.
Yeah.
Power level. And he basically always has to bring his card.
You know, just thematically, though, this is a robbery. It's, you get in there, you steal the money, and then you just run away. It's like how I play most of the time with Syndicate. And it's just so thematic. Even the picture has Spider-Man chasing him. It's exactly how my games play out. Is like I'm in like enemy lines, I grab their lunch money, and then I'm just running away. And now I'm like way far away, and it's up to the other player to, you know, be the hero. So
if you're looking for an extract steal and you can't or don't want to play Voodoo, Spider-Woman and Rhino are your people.
At 4 threat, I think.
At 4 threat, sure.
I think we could talk about Quicksilver a little bit.
Yeah, so let's talk about that one.
Yeah, I think Quicksilver's cool again. I mean, I think Inhumans plays him for sure. You could maybe play him in Brotherhood. I don't really know what to build with Brotherhood right now. But can I borrow that? It's a good card. Unfortunately, it only works on not every extract because assets only. But
well, luckily, Hammers is the most popular asset.
Yeah, true, actually.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I don't have a huge amount to say about Quicksilver. He was played in the finals, so like clearly Inhumans is big for him. I've always enjoyed him as a character with Dormammu and nonsense like that back in the day, and I think his spender is actually awesome. If it's just Inhumans is so perfect for him because if they can juice him up, he just needs the if he can get the power to do the vortex and use Can I Borrow That? It's so good. Because you get that free movement, range 3 attack, that should hit at least 1 damage. And then you just swipe something and get away. It's pretty damn good.
Well, notably, they can give him power to then do the Can't Catch Me. So that once he has the thing, he's a lot harder to get to. Because he can just start running around, right? So, and yeah, I think Quicksilver is a good shout as well. I don't think there are any other 3. The only other 3 steel would be... Obviously, you can still play Cat and then Human Torch, who has
Miles.
Do we think Miles won as an extract stealer?
I think he's about the same as he's always been. Pretty good.
Yeah. Cool.
I think there is other people playing him as a splash character now. I saw some people playing him in Hellfire Club because, you know, if your steal is going to be an action, you might as well roll 7 dice for it.
Yeah, seems reasonable. He notably has the swing, right? So you can sort of replace the action with the swing. If you can position yourself.
Like infinite power, yeah, I guess. I mean, Venom Blast and Cat Briggler are like this, both in action. One gets to roll 7 dice, but the other one doesn't have to actually interact with the objective. So, but one can be shot at range 2 instead of range 1. So I don't know. There's a few variables, but I definitely think it's more of a debate now.
Yeah. And I would have said it was probably a way bigger debate before Kat, like if she didn't get the increased tankiness, because Miles like would have been more durable. Now I think like Kat's just like insanely durable. So
yeah,
that does take a little bit away from that aspect of the conversation, I think. So yeah, I think they're probably pretty close. Anything else about, I'll say, sort of group these steel characters that sort of won due to the Voodoo Cat nerfs?
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of people could explore a bunch of different things. I do think Rhino is probably the most generically good 4-threat stealer. The competition's a lot closer now. And I think all the 3-threat stealers are pretty close to each other.
Cool. So. Right. Sploosh, what about who sticks out as a winner to you?
That we haven't talked about? Let's see. I mean, I feel like Shuri. The big thing with me with Shuri is like when they changed her 2 years ago, all of a sudden everybody was playing these size 4 characters. Like Juggernaut just became absurdly popular and Hulk was buffed. And Hulk was already like a fan favorite. So the fact that he got buffed, it was just like I felt like Hulk Juggernaut was just everywhere. So it was just kind of depressing because, you know, Shuri had her day in the sun where she was the most popular character in the game, and then she just dropped off hard, and nobody splashed Shuri, no one even looked at her. But, you know, characters aren't as big anymore, even like, Cosmic Ghost Rider is size 3. So, you know, Shuri with X-Men for me is a big one, like specifically Cyclops. I think Shuri was really popular like way back in the day with Cabal leadership. And I'm sure people remember Core Red Skull. If you hit someone, you get an extra power. And Shuri was very likely to hit people with her six energy. So with Cyclops, it's very similar. It just, she doesn't get the power. She gives it to someone else, which is fine and cool. And rerolls and dice consistency is at a premium right now when you have characters like the new, you know, Wolverine got the wild thing, which is insane. And, you know, there's just a lot, what character doesn't want dice consistency? So, yeah, I think stocks up on Shuri in that way. I don't know about Wakanda. I honestly haven't touched them in forever, but Wakanda's getting all these new leaders. I have to think there's a place for Shuri somewhere in there. And, who knows? Maybe there's other places. I can't explore everything. There's like a million affiliations now, but I think people need to look at Shuri again a little bit, you know? And, also just there's a lot more bodyguards now than back in the day.
I disagree about that.
Well, I think Colossus will be played more.
Colossus like, is in your face though.
Yeah.
I think getting an actual bodyguard is hard to get now. Who is it other than Steve, Okoye, She-Hulk, and then Black Bolt?
Well, the thing is though, do you really want to have a character standing next to Shuri anyway? It's kind of inefficient, you know? Like I think
on what's happening, but maybe.
Yeah. And Sacrifice is still a card too. I mean, you could just, because all you need to do is let him hit her once and hopefully she doesn't die. And then you sacrifice to keep her alive for another turn. And then she can shoot people away. I mean, range 5, by the way, my God, range 5 energy attack is, that's a lot of distance. I forget even that it's range 5. It's just so crazy. Anyway, I don't know if you guys have anything to say about Shuri, but I think she's a little better now for sure. At least unaffiliated. And I mean, I could even maybe see Defenders try to play her. I don't know. Because Defenders will create such a distraction when they're just dropping in giant monsters on you that who has time to go deal with Shuri? So I don't know. And I'm sure there's a lot of things I'm not even thinking about. But Shuri right now.
Yeah, it seems like her proactivity is more useful, but her drawbacks are probably still the same.
Yeah. I'm going to go as well with Black Dwarf next. Mike and I don't even know. I didn't look at the date, but we did a tier list like 80 years ago and it was after the changes. And I had mentioned back then that I felt Black Dwarf was a little underrated. He's on paper, got all the cool things, you know, size 4 character throw. He's like really hard to kill. He's got that big base. So I think Midnight Suns can jam him. Intrusions is like kind of sweet for him. He hits pretty hard with that 6 dice attack and his spender gives stagger. And yeah, I don't know. He has bodyguard, except it's the bad one, quote unquote. So yeah, I don't know. I think running like a low threat, like Dwarf, Eye Hulk, like Blade Team or something is cute and probably decent.
I want to like Black Dwarf. And like you said, you read his card and you're like, why don't people play this character more? And the answer is Beta Ray Bill. Like,
yeah, Beta Ray Bill's a superior dwarf, I guess.
How much damage? So first of all, how much damage does Bill reduce in throughout a game? He's got to be at least 3 to 4, right? The thing is, Bill is immune to the two things that you can chip people with for guaranteed damage. Throwing him into terrain and bleed. None of that works on Bill. So only way to actually kill Bill is through a spike. And I've played some Black Dwarf and he dies still. Like, he'll melt. It's like, you could chip him. He's not immune to any conditions. So yeah, it's like, all right, well, Immortal Hulk goes into Black Dwarf. You know, I do 1 damage in a throw. You know, I do 2 damage. Into Bill, then it could be 0, right? Reduced twice.
Yeah.
And it's, geez, Bill's got 11 health. And it sure feels like 15 plus with damage, the amount of damage he reduces. So my point is that's why I think we don't see Dwarf more. And then he's just slower, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking Midnight Suns without the large base hop, but
yeah. There's a guy locally, Christian, who plays that, and I think it's pretty cool.
He also gets punished by Bill, right? If your opponent has Bill and can efficiently throw him, he's 5 free damage a turn for Bill, who doesn't typically do consistent damage.
Yeah, I mean, in the light up I was mentioning, you only have 3 characters who hopefully aren't like on top of each other, so you know.
Yeah.
You can kind of not have that happen as much, but I hear what you're saying. It is true that Bill's just obnoxious. I mean, Bill's also immune to incinerate, so Bill only has 5 dice attacks, but
Bill's immune to all ways to soften some. And he rolls 4 defense dice on top of it.
What? Why are you going to turn my Black Dwarf hype into Bill's overpowered again?
We looked at Black Dwarf to the day and we were like, man, this character's pretty cool. Like, why? Maybe it is the day. And then I played some games with him and I was like, nope, I'm still dying. Like, he's literally just Luke Cage on his healthy side, still dies.
I mean, he's got
Bill.
Dwarf has 14 health.
He does, which is only
Bill's only got 11.
So, like, how many times do you use damage reduction on Bill? A lot.
Sure. I mean,
actually, about 3. Yeah, you use it a lot, more than 3. I would say you just get unlucky.
Yeah, maybe we need to bring Loki back so Bill's sad, because I mean, Dwarf is using indestructible. It's definitely an efficient damage protection system, but you know, Bill's got the 4 energy defense, and we were, I don't know if we said it on the pod recently, but it feels like energy attacks are like stocks are up, you know, so Bill having the extra
energy attacks have ever been bad. They are just more accessible now.
They exist. There's more of them. Yeah. So, I mean, having that extra die and then just reduce 1, it's pretty good, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe you're right. It's kind of, if you're going to play Midnight Suns, why don't you just play Bill? I mean, you don't need Dwarf.
Yeah, the math on Bill just is not right.
Probably one of those things where Dwarf would win if something wasn't sitting above him, so.
Well, maybe people will want to play WTC formats, and they'll be like, damn, my Guardians player already took Beta Ray Bill.
I mean,
if only there was another character. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, I think maybe in that situation, Dwarf will be a little more
appealing. I think if Bill ever gets nerfed and we do another one of these episodes, we talk about Dwarf.
Yeah. All right. So next up on the list, I'm pulling. So I said Magneto.
Yeah, let's just talk about Brotherhood. I mean, Mags and Juggernaut, those seem better, right? Malkin.
Yeah. And we mentioned Quicksilver, who's affiliated.
Yeah, true.
So.
Yeah, I think a lot of things Brotherhood doesn't like got nerfed. They don't like Juggernaut getting possessed. They don't like Thanos moving all their models around. They don't like Malekith YOLOing into Juggernaut and Magneto and killing them.
True.
All those things are worse now. So.
There's also that super busted card that, you know, Magnetic Refraction, that, you know, so now Brotherhood has cover and X-Men don't.
Well, that's because Brotherhood's better than X-Men, but let's not. Look, we don't want to have that argument.
Premium access to global, quote unquote, cover.
Yeah.
We cover, if you will.
And as long as you control threat, you basically have it every turn for the entire game.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot of things that go through cover now that it's less good, but it's still good.
I don't know about that. Come on. There's a lot of shooties. If you're
playing Mags, you're probably just playing that card, so it's whatever.
I think it's also, like, Brotherhood might be one of the more fun things to explore, because I think even, and maybe we said this publicly, like, they felt like one of the things, like, why is this not played a little more? Why were people so down on them before? And so maybe these changes get people to sort of push back into that Brotherhood space and reevaluate. Because I think Malekith just kept them out a lot by himself. Whether he should have or not, who knows? But, you know, he made Magneto and Juggernaut very sad. And Juggernaut, you know, should conceptually be all right into Cosmic Ghost Rider. He can't be incinerated by him. Gets the DR.
Yeah.
So Mystique, you can't. Bill can't defend himself against Mystique. And Rapid Fire is pretty good when X-Men don't have cover anymore. So I don't know. Mystique's decent. We talked about Pyro earlier. I mean, there's a lot going on with Brotherhood. Apex is one of the better characters if you can get power.
Yeah, I like Brotherhood right now. I mean, I think a lot of people, no one talks about the Senators thing anymore. True. But that's still pretty viable.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Toad, still the goat of twos. So yeah, Brotherhood's cool. Yeah, and I agree with you with Magneto. A lot of the things that scared him off have been nerfed.
Man, I will say, dude, I don't know what it is about Mags. People say he's a balanced 6 threat, but man, I think he's just a 5 threat, which is why he's balanced. Like, I literally played a game against Brotherhood, and he just rolled like crap. Like, it wasn't even like, I don't know what it is. Like, it's probably the fact that he's hitting on physical. He gets ruined by skulls. Whereas Malekith and Thanos, like, none of this matters. Malekith hits on energy. It's basically you're already hitting an incinerated model because defense is usually lower. And then he just doesn't care about rolling skulls.
Mags is a character that gets worse too the longer the game goes, because eventually the entire table just doesn't have terrain.
Yeah, also true.
But I agree with you completely. We have this argument all the time, like on the side, about how I personally don't think 6 threats should even be in the game. And you're like, yeah, but Mags is good. And I'm like, yeah, because he's like a 5.5. Like, he's just not, he's not up to par with the 6s. So it feels better.
Yeah, I haven't seen a game where Mags just dominates and like in forever. Like, he's like fine. He's kind of like a support model. Yeah, he can make 2 attacks. I more often than not see those attacks do nothing.
Yeah, I think he does age sort of poorly and continues to do so in his helmet, for example. It does buff his defense, but he has to pay for it, and that's how he gets his access to not be moved. Whereas everyone else who has that same sort of thing just can't be moved, right? With their helmets and their psionic protections, and physical attacks age poorly. So there's just like those things that, you know, regardless of what you think about Magneto, where he actually ranks, it's probably lower than it was 2 years ago. Just,
yeah, like I can't even like reliably kill Luke Cage with Magneto. That's a bad spot to be in when I'm a 6 threat that's meant to kill things.
Luke Cage is probably just an S-tier 3. He's just kind of stupid.
Wait, no, stop. We don't.
Luke Cage should have been 5-5 health for sure.
Think Luke is a bit over. I mean, there's a lot of people I talk to that play like a splash Luke Cage, and they're like, yeah, I start my squads with Luke Cage. And I'm like, all right, well.
I do think he's a little too. While I'm not going to say he's broken or anything, conceptually, the fact that I just need to protect something, just jam Luke Cage in my list. And he's never really bad because of that, but.
Like, I love having more defensive stuff to do in the game. That's good. Don't get me wrong. But I do feel like the offense is a little over sometimes. But then it just becomes people play the highest offense things and play the highest defense things. And I don't know. Right. It's just a never-ending quest to balance the extremes.
If the new Cap ends up being really good, Luke Cage is going to be so toxic with that stagger.
Yeah, true. You just need, wild hit to stagger somebody?
Yeah, it goes from, whatever, mid-10% to 40% to get the stagger.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's going to feel really bad, dude. When
Speak
some
for
little
yourself,
3
I'm
threat.
An player.
When some little 3 threat punk is just walking around staggering your best characters, it's going
to
feel
really
bad.
I actually think this game needs more access to stagger. I think it's missing a lot right now.
Okay, well. Can we not make it Luke Cage, who's already really good?
Yeah, let's just
make
it Black
Cat. Well, here's the thing about stagger, is if you have more models, stagger means less.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess. Doesn't matter anyway. You just play Crew of the Milano.
Yeah, this is noted condition hater sploot.
I don't hate conditions. I do think the game is getting a little obsessed with them. I basically took like a break from this game for 8 months, and I come back and it's like, why is everything conditions? There's conditions everywhere. What's going on? And anyway,
I think there's a lot of back in the day, people would say Crew of the Milano and Children of the Atom are like not worth playing. Now they definitely are.
Yeah, now I'm gonna play Crew and Children when applicable constantly. Which, I guess cool, but than if you don't have those things. Like every time I try to make a list without some kind of status immunity, I'm instantly sad.
I think it adds layers, decisions to the game in a good way. So maybe it's too easy in some cases, but I'd also say, let's say shock as an example, just letting somebody's model tee off on me every game feels bad on the other side. So I need something to do to counter it.
Yeah, don't get me started. Shock with like rapid fire is brutal too. If you can like the whole dynamo beam shocking like a whole team, and then you're playing rapid fire characters, that's also crazy town.
Like he has to roll wilds to do so, and then you rapid fires are naturally good into what dynamo is doing in a lot of ways because he's reduced one and can tax his power economy really hard. So I think that's actually a fun balance depending on how the game is shaped up. So
is it worth mentioning Dynamo right now as a gainer? I mean, he already was really good, but I'm at the point where I don't think I'd make a list that didn't have Dynamo in it.
I think part of it is the meta. People still just play Map E a lot.
Yeah.
Happy Dynamo exists because he's something to play on Map E that feels really good.
Yeah, I think
my overall dream would be that Map E is gone, because I think it makes more interesting of a game, or at least Gamma. I think I've accepted demons, and I think playing Shield a lot has taught me how to play demons in different ways. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of games where I'd play Shield and I would just run my models around. Like, I'm not even on the portals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not forced into the center as much as it looks. You can run to terrain, stand in cover, and shoot people and stuff. I think demons I've lessened my stance on how much I hate it, but I do really despise Gamma and Researcher. You are trapped in the middle on those, and you are forced to 15 a lot of the time, and I don't think the game plays well at 15 still.
I have nightmares if Defenders become like an A-tier plus affiliation, and I have to play them on Gamma. It's so awkward because we're just talking about, you're like saying, oh, we should have conditions to promote going wider. But then, okay, I go wider than some monstrosity and, you know, Daredevil's leadership just, I don't know, gets a portal on top of me or whatever. And it's just, I'm watching all my little guys just get smashed to death. And then, I don't know, it scares me a little bit. I hate how Gamma makes me feel like I'm in a cage. You know, as far as spacing, like with demons, I can go wherever I want. I'll put a guy on the left, guy on the right, who cares? But with Gamma, you feel trapped. And then you're going to have this leadership that promotes like these mosh pit fights and just watch all my characters get annihilated. Yeah. Like a Thor area attack too. In Gamma, it's just, I don't know, with some dice mods, it's brutal. Isn't there like a tactics card? It also buffs the area attacks. I don't know. Well,
with Bill, yeah.
The Brothers in Arms tactics card. It's three extra dice on energy attacks for those two for the round. And they can't be moved.
It's good times.
Well, yeah. I mean, they can move themselves.
Yeah. But anyway. Want to get into some losers?
Yeah, so let's move on. So, go through some losers again. As a reminder, these are not nerfed characters. These are who loses because of those nerfs. Mike, who's first on your list?
Dude, I think I gotta go with Beast, man. Beast lost his global cover, which feels really bad when everyone's shooting energy attacks at him. I don't know how much longer Beast is gonna see play, to be honest. I mean, I think people are still playing him, but I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
You incinerate Beast with a pyro or something? That's a rough day.
Yeah, I mean, I've played Beast in Avengers, and it still felt like he got just destroyed. Like, a lot of times, he just gets shot, and he's dead. In X-Men, it was serviceable, because he has an auto block almost all the time. But yeah, I think Beast's two energy defense is going to age horribly now that the cover's gone.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Beast in X-Men was becoming like this, like, only for madman kind of thing. Because he is like super efficient for Madman. But I think as X-Men get more characters, which are clearly coming, I think Beast days are numbered. If he's not already getting removed from the list. And thank you. Sometimes you're going to play against a Web Warriors player or something where they basically don't have any energy attacks. And maybe that's cool. And I mean, Mike, you probably correct me, because I think even webs were starting to gain a little bit of energy. But
you just get all webbed up, Venom Blast yeah. off the table.
You know, Beast was traditionally really good against Brotherhood too. Just because they tend to be all physical characters that throw things, and he's good into throws as well with the way he works. But I do agree with you that Beast, I think too, I'll put an asterisk on, like, people are like kind of Magic fans, and like I would just sort of accept that like Magic is an okay character with cover, but without cover, like 3-3 defense and 5 health, man, I just don't know. I don't believe.
Yeah, I don't know. Beast took a big hit with losing the cover, that's for sure. We'll see if he still gets played. I mean, I'm pretty excited for Kitty, so my X-Men builds that she replaces him as a start for sure.
Yeah. There you go.
Sploosh, what about you? Who's a loser for you?
I don't know. I actually want to say Thanos, but I look bad because people are slashing or putting Thanos into all their lists and top cuts.
Well, he got nerfed, right? So you would expect him to be a loser.
I've personally played a few games with Thanos. And
since the changes.
Since the changes. And I understand that if your opponent is like attacking him and doesn't have the right tools, that Thanos could just theoretically run away with the game. I totally get that. But I think if you can kill Thanos' friends and have a little bit of target priority skills, you know, for example, bodyguards and sacrifice and things like that, you can kind of get around the Thanos extra dice. And I think in general too, Thanos extra dice is mostly overrated. If a character is healthy, adding 2 dice is basically like adding maybe 1 hit. Sometimes it's 2 and sometimes it's not, you know? Sure, if it's like Corvus, which is what he was designed for, Thanos can, you know, boost some massive damage. But we're not seeing Black Order right now doing anything. I'm not going to rule out that Black Order might be better. And maybe I should say that I just mean unaffiliated Thanos right now, because I really don't know Black Order, what their options are. I put no thought into it. But Thanos was a menace for a very long time, even with the constant nerfs he keeps getting. Because, you know, the gem restriction was definitely a anti-Thanos targeting system. And even the deception hit, I feel, was trying to nerf Thanos a little bit, because that was very common to just have Thanos in deception. You know, but like cards like Heroes for Hire, you know, they can really mess you up with Thanos and ruin your day. And when I play Thanos, he just feels so insanely one-dimensional. I agree he needed to be nerfed. There's not even a question about that. But the way he plays is kind of brain dead. It's literally teleport yourself, move an opponent, and then attack the opponent, hope that they die. And that's literally his whole turn. And an 8th threat, I don't know if that's like the most efficient thing you could be playing. So I don't know. Maybe I'll prove to people will just prove me to be wrong. We'll see how things go in the future. But he's definitely not the monster he used to be. And he still could take over games, especially with the right objectives. But if the map is more spread out, he's definitely just a dud, in my opinion. I guess the counter argument people would probably bring up is, well, you just throw him in your list and then he doesn't cost that much anymore, which is probably a decent argument. But I don't know. Maybe I just don't understand what is it he's actually going to do for you that's good. And, you know, if he's beating some like certain lists, were those lists good anyway? You know, because in my experience, the good lists I played against, they have the tools to handle Thanos. Stagger, for example, like when I play Guardians with Thanos and Thanos gets, that's horrible. There's no, you know, crew of the Milano to get it off or whatever. He's just staggered. And so, okay, so he teleports, punches once, and moves someone. That's worth a threat. I don't know. Doesn't feel that great. He's not immune to anything but stun. He could be incinerated. He can be, well, incinerate doesn't matter because attacking him's mostly pointless. But shocked is what I was trying to say. Yeah. I mean, slowed is kind of obnoxious. I remember when, I think it was like 2 TTSs ago, Pat did, So Pat won with Thanos, right? Mm-hmm. The TTS. And I remember he was like, his Thanos was slowed and rooted, right? And again, another shout to Pyro, perhaps. But his Thanos was like out in the middle of nowhere the entire game. And he was Leaf he was playing against. Props to Leaf. He was doing a great job handling Thanos. But it was Thanos' ability to teleport everyone around that really mattered. And this version of Thanos, I think it's pretty safe to say that Leaf maybe is a TTS champion. So, yeah. Anyway, you guys have anything to add to that?
I mean, I could see him. Watching your games, I was like, yeah, Thanos is kind of, I don't know, I was pretty cold on him. He's definitely a lot more manageable with status conditions now. Like you said, Stagger.
Yeah, and maybe that's why I'm salty.
At least portal everything, even while staggered, or at least portal a bunch of things, that it was manageable.
Yeah.
Just can't. And if he has to portal somebody to make an attack into them, he now cannot portal anything else. And then, I don't know.
You guys are going to get Thanos a staggered immunity, and I'll never forgive you.
Oh, God.
No.
Dormammu has it. 8 threats, immune to stagger. AMG win. I think that Thanos is interesting because I think so many people were... Like, obviously, he was nerfed. Card, Cosmic Portal Change, nerf. But then when the gems came off, people were like, oh, is it actually a nerf? And I think while we were talking about models that weren't specifically changed, I think this deserves a shout as... He's probably still nerfed. Go put him on the table and see. Even if he belongs in the roster, even if he can still do good things, it's not what it was. So maybe he's just fair now, right? And maybe he falls on the lower end of that for you, but I think that's an interesting conversation. So
the only reason I'm thinking it through, maybe the only reason you have Thanos in your roster at this point is probably because he might still be stupid at the extremely low threats, like 15. I personally have also experimented with other rosters having Thanos as literally just my 15 threat character. And maybe that's the argument to keep him in. I mean, he definitely has a lower cost with the whole gem thing. But even in the, yeah. Even
just worth moving on, I think, from Thanos. I mean, you're right, right?
Yeah.
But how much?
Yeah, no, there's not much else to say. I guess we'll see. But my take on him is... Maybe he's just playable in low threats, but I think people are like just have too much. I mean, we've had to deal with him for so long. I mean, you could even argue he hasn't been nerfed ever. Like, cause sure, he was nerfed like 2 years ago or whatever. But then, was he really? Because he was still being played. So we've all had to deal with this character for so long that we probably all have a little bit of anxiety over it. But I don't know. I don't think he's this dominant, crazy monster. Even in the stream, I overheard, you could hear the players talking and people were complaining about Thanos like on stream. So there's definitely like feelings there.
Like complaining.
They were saying, yeah, one guy, I forget. Oh, he had some suggestion. He was like something Thanos, they should change about him. I forget what it was he said though.
He still felt like Thanos was too strong or no?
Oh, yes. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I think that the reality is that it's way too soon to tell if anyone is. Where anything actually ends up. These are fun conversations, but
yeah,
even the Thanos, you know, does he change in 2 weeks? I don't know. We've had one event and so.
Oh, he's done well in the event. That's the crazy thing. So it's making me look bad, but I still have the guts to say what I say because I've played him and, you know, maybe my mistake is I've been trying to play him at too high threats and maybe he's like this low threat monstrosity, but even then it's secure in a, you know, kind of dependent, you know? So, yeah.
All right. Mike, other losers from you?
I think I am a little down on Shadowlands, Daredevil. Mostly because Bucky got nerfed.
Okay.
Maybe that's unwarranted. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know what the state of Shadowlands is these days because Bucky's nerfed now and Follow Me's gone.
But X-Men don't have cover.
Yeah, maybe the gun lines aren't as scared of X-Men, but...
Malekith can't just eat things for free? The little guys?
Yeah. Yeah, because that was a big weakness for them when they were considered a high-tier list, was that, like, there was all of a sudden this Malekith just eating your little squishies. you know? And then suddenly your team is just much worse than what you started.
I think Bucky getting nerfed has made other rapid fire models more attractive. Like Punisher, I think, is a good shout.
Yep.
Punisher is a pretty freaking good model. Never got any love because he had no affiliation and he wasn't a rogue agent. And his tactics card is kind of weird. But he has an affiliation now, and his kit is solid. Like, he makes 2-4 dice attacks, and his rapid fire is guaranteed, which is rare nowadays.
And very rare.
He has a freaking built-in short move, and his spender is range 5 with, like, Pierce or something. So, like, he's a solid character. He's 11 health. I like Punisher. I think he's solid. So,
And I think it's super fair to say that anywhere Bucky was, like, prominent or the best part of your affiliation probably has questions now, right? Like, how do you fill that hole? Same thing with Shield. What do they do instead? But I think, different things can fill that void really well. It's Sin's time to shine, is what I'm trying to say.
Unfortunately, I think Sin is still bad.
Damn it.
I'm going to push. I don't know if Shadowlands is better, worse, or the same. I'm going to say same, personally. I really wanted to try the new MODOK, and then it's, this is like once per turn. It's kind of a bummer. I've played Shadowland Daredevil with Corvus Proxima because I had mentioned it the last episode, I believe, that I think Corvus Proxima might be good in Syndicate again. And I'll tell you what, man, when you reroll 4 times in one activation, it feels pretty good. And obviously with Rapid Fire, you can do that too, right? But also doing Corvus Proxima, and his dice are just better than everyone else's. And I get to reroll. And yeah, sure, I even get to reroll skulls. And I don't know, it's pretty good. Granted, with Corvus, you could cheese the skull reroll thing anyway. But it's pretty sweet. So I don't know. I don't know if anyone played just Shadowlands, though. Like, because that was kind of a thing, right? Where if you played Syndicate, you were just purely Shadowland Daredevil team.
Yeah. Well, that was Shadowlands was a mono list, but now you see pretty much every King Syndicate list has Kingpin, I feel like, and then maybe one of MODOK or Shadowlands.
Yeah, I'm not MODOK's leader. I don't know, this is not about MODOK's leadership, but it's kind of a bummer for me. I feel like it's close to being actually really cool. It's just, I don't know. It's like worse than X-Force. So, oops. Anyway.
Is it? I don't actually know if it is or not.
I've played against X-Force because, I know Dizzard. And, dude, that thing's crazy because I still like to play with cover and I like to pride myself on being pretty good about placing my characters in good places. And when he can just... And he can remove your cover with perfect information, that's also just very tilting. Because you're like, I have cover. And he's just like, no, you don't. You're dead. So, that's really powerful when you have that perfect information. But anyway.
Yeah, I think the X-Force leadership is not, it's definitely not bad anymore. It's okay. It can be situationally pretty cool.
Yeah. I do think I want so badly to like the MODOK leadership. I think the fact that it can give you better defensive dice is really cool and actually very rare in this game. And also offensively, it can randomly combo with characters that need shields on offense, which is weird, but you could theoretically have Corvus get his flurry attack off with MODOK's help. And I think that's cool, but is it cooler than Shadowland Daredevil? Probably not. And Kingpin's still awesome. So, oh well.
Deaton, anything else?
I think a big loser in all of this that we've sort of hinted at is Pyro. I think the X-Men nerf specifically touches what he was doing. I think their splashes in general probably is one of the things we want to mention. But, things like Pyro, Malekith, let's say Angela for the, like, the eyes, weird eyes stuff that you could do. She doesn't need eyes, but so we'll scratch her and just call me an idiot. But those characters that sort of had the perfect power economy with the jump and a lot of those things are gone. Because the jump is now not free. So I think those lose. So the X-Men affiliation as a whole. But I think that's probably a good thing. Malekith jumping into a charge. Some of the dumbest stuff I've ever seen in my life. So.
I used to do. I used to do Ebony Maw space jump. like X-Men jump, space, teleport, double attack people from like their back. That was really cool. And you could throw after. That's not really as easy anymore. And in fact, with Maw, like literally doesn't work because your power's off.
No, it does. You could do all of it if you're able to double tap. He gets
because you have to pay to jump though.
Yeah, you pay three for the X-Men hop and the space gem combined, and then you make two attacks and go to three power and you throw something.
Yeah.
Oh, is that exactly even? Weird. Because when I was playing it back in the day, I could have sworn it was very strict on the power, but I guess not.
So I think that, you know, it remains to be seen what the splashes do, and you know, Space Maw is not nearly as, let's say, popular as like Malekith. Right.
So, well, like Red Skull 2, it was a big thing with X-Men for a minute.
And that got tamped down, right? Because he can't double count blanks now with starting out from one. So lots of good little things, I think, like that, quite frankly, are good that touched. So while it's a loser, I think it's a positive for the game.
Also, Grunts just can't X-Men hop at all now.
That is true. That's really funny.
Actually. Oh, no. See, I've actually done that before, too. I've literally done that before. It's fun. It's sad. I'm going to say I'm like bold take guy today. I'm going to just get so much crap for this, but I think Psylocke is a little less of a character. Okay. She's 11 health, 4 threat that with martial artist and cover, I think she was slick. And now she's a little squishy.
Yeah, her cover definitely sucks as well.
Yeah. 3 physical is not great. And then if someone could just move in there and pop you at 3. It's even 3 energy, which, you know, Cosmic Ghost Rider or something. Just pop in, pew, you know, you only have 3 dice. No cover.
Yeah, but he can't perfectly measure his teleport in range too, so it's fine.
He'll do it fine.
So anything else we want to shout out? I think that covers at least the list that I'm looking at as far as winners, losers.
Well, it's kind of cheating, but I think Wong should be mentioned as a plus. I think Wong Defenders with Portal is unexplored and could be a thing. I think Wong with Web Warriors is cool. I think Farmers made me a believer that it's at least cool. And there's like really neat things you could do with the extra power that Wong provides and advanced R&D and all that nonsense. And the reason I'm saying, yeah, Wong's kind of cheating because he got buffed, but none of what I'm saying is because of an extra defensive die.
Sometimes it's 2 if you're playing him with Strange.
Yeah, Wong literally rolls 4 defense next to Strange. That's crazy, dude.
I'm not convinced Strange will see play, but maybe.
I think
the Supreme.
I think what you're saying is Wong's buffs are fine. Thank you for doing them. But really, him getting buffed is going to cause people to reevaluate him. And then a lot of the other changes that were made help him more. Defender portals potentially being a thing is a bigger buff to Wong's play rate than probably an extra die. I would agree with that.
And Wong removes conditions.
There you go.
So I hate conditions.
Character for you. Just play Wong.
Oh, I used to play Wong with MODOK all the time and I loved it.
Well, there you go. Now he's just a better version of it.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much wraps us up. Any last words from you, Mike?
I don't think so.
Sploosh, any last comments?
Play less Hulks and buff Gambit.
All right. Well, you heard
it. Gambit. I said it in the Discord, but it was funny. Yeah, Gambit, he might not have stealth in MCP, but he has stealth when it comes to getting buffs.
Oh, damn.
just play Dark Path.
I hope when Gambit does get stealth in 4 years, that they name it not stealth and something really cool like Storm. I want him to get uber stealth. Just give me the best stealth that exists in the game.
The stealth that Daredevil can't.
Well, Cassandra Nova's stealth too. What's hers called?
I hope we get
the cloak.
I hope we get the mutant traitor, whatever Bishop hates Gambit because he's the old man who betrayed the X-Men. I hope we get that Gambit and he's amazing. So, all right, I think that about wraps it up. And since you guys aren't going to talk anymore, as I'm saying the outro, Mordo is a winner because he can buff Wolverine's dice and he doesn't care about the damage. So those are our winners for... Damn it. I tried to sneak it in there, but thanks everyone.